heard other people have studios, mm-hmm. and she is just, I love her. Mm-hmm. I love her. Okay, great. So let me make sure that I got your bio, because I've got our outline all together. And you can put your headphones okay. on whenever you're ready. And all right.
Hey, everybody. It's Damara Gardner, founder of Black Women About Business. So glad that you're here with us today on our podcast, where we bring you 15 minutes of bite-sized pieces related to business and wellness. I have Lakeisha Mallett with me today. Can't wait for you to hear from her. And before I do her introduction, just want to tell you that we have this Michigan Business and Wellness Tour coming up. And so want to make sure that you stay tuned until the end of the podcast so that we can talk a little bit about that, along with our conference retreat, which is going to be in the beautiful Northern Michigan area at Grand Traverse Resort and Spa, August 8th through the 11th. So make sure that you mark your calendar. We have some all-inclusive pricing. You could make it a girls trip because we're all about supporting wellness. And so in case you didn't know, Black Women About Business is all about creating sacred spaces of support for Black female leaders and entrepreneurs. And we do that through things like business planning, executive coaching, training, and retreats. If you are not currently following us on social media, please make sure that you do that, blackwomen_biz. And then if you go to our website, blackwomenaboutbiz.com, you can sign up for our newsletter. We put one out only twice a month. We're not going to bombard your email. I hate when people do that to me. So I promise you, I will not do that to you. And so make sure that you check us out because it gives you a flavor of what we're about. And of course, our podcast is one of the ways that you get a flavor of what we're about. So with that, Lakeisha Mallett is with me today. She is wonderful. You are going to be schooled on all kinds of things today. She is a finance and business strategist who truly believes that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. Investing in her own knowledge, she holds a BA as well as an MBA degree. So this woman knows her stuff related to business. Since 2007, she has made it her mission to help professionals develop a mindset wired for wealth and success, strengthen their relationship with money, and shatter the glass ceiling on their income. She's featured regularly on The Money Chat. Can't wait to hear about that. And she also founded Mocktails. I Need Mocktails, Money and Marriage, a live financial workshop in my life, created to help couples connect around money. I hope a single person could take advantage of that too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. So you're going to school us on that a little bit later, right,
we'll
Lakeisha?
Talk about it. Yes.
All
we'll
right.
Do.
Okay. Wonderful. So sis, we're going to dive right in. I'm so glad that you are here on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Damara. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. I know that this will not be the last time that our paths cross. I can already feel it.
I hope not.
Energetically.
Hope not.
It's vibing. Yeah. It's vibing.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Me too, sis. So you started off in personal finance and moved over to business finance. Tell us more about that.
So back in 2007, I was on my own journey to get my personal finances together. Mm-hmm. I was making decent money. I was able to do some things I wanted to do. I was traveling, but I just couldn't seem to get my head above water. And so I started my own journey to getting out of debt. So from 2007, 18 months later, I was totally and completely debt free. So then I started this mission to help women that I work with, anybody who wanted to stop and talk to me about money. I was giving nuggets and tidbits and sharing things that they could do to really get their finances in order. And then what I started to notice as I started working with women and couples and even some men was most people weren't making money wasn't really the issue. It was the mindset piece that was the issue. But the thing became people needed to know different ways that they could increase their revenue, increase their income, and things they could do with the talents that they had. Mm. You know, it's not going out and necessarily getting a second degree, even though if that's necessary for your field to do it. But we have so many gifts and talents that are in us that we can use to generate additional revenue streams in order to pay off that debt or be able to go on vacation or, you know, those things that we really want to do to enjoy money.
Sis, so I feel like we could just drop the mic and just go home right now. Like, in fact, when you said that you were debt free, that in itself is golden, right?
Yes.
So tell us how is it that you became debt-free? Because not many people can say that, right? And particularly people that look like us.
Yes.
So what were the tricks and the trades?
Okay. Yeah, so I'll share those. So it's interesting you said that because when I sat down to write down my last check to the U.S. Department of Education, I remember sitting there thinking as I did my sigh of relief, like, I did it.
Yes.
But I didn't know anyone who looked like me who was debt free. You know, as I was going through my journey, I had people who would say, oh, I'm a owe till I go. You know, there were just so many sayings and things that people just believed about money that they thought that debt couldn't get, you couldn't get away from debt. Mm. And so when I was able to pay off the last of that debt, it was like, oh my goodness, I did it. So one of the things that I did, and it's something that I teach some of my clients, is called the wealth strategy. I started putting away 10% of my money. For an emergency fund. I started to put away 10% of my money to accelerate my income. So when we talk about creating those different revenue streams, you have to start putting some money aside for that. I started to put away money, 10% of my income toward my long-term savings, because even if you love what you do, you may not want to do it at 70. You want to have some resources and some money in place that it will give you options. And that's what money does. Money gives you options, and debt take away your options.
You know, I love that. And I'm sure that there is so much more to it. And we don't want to give all the good stuff away, right? Because I want people to reach out to you so that they can learn more about this strategy that you've created. And I don't know about you, but at 70, I hope I'm on an island somewhere drinking a Mai Tai.
Yes, yes.
So maybe serving on some boards, because that's my full-time job. And for real, though, I think that it's so important for entrepreneurs to think like they still work for someone.
Yes.
I think what happens often is that we don't always feel accountable to the money the way that we should.
Yes.
Because that concept about putting 10% away, we might get that if we work for the man, quote unquote.
Okay.
But when we work for ourselves, it feels as if there's more wiggle room for us to play with.
Right.
And so we have to treat our money as if it may not be there tomorrow, so that we can plan for a tomorrow. So that 10% is so powerful. And, you know, I can relate to paying off that last student loan debt.
Right.
And it felt so freeing, because so many of the people in my life were saying the same things that you're talking about, right? That until the day that they die, they were probably going to be writing a check to Uncle Sam to pay off those student loans.
Right.
And we know that through your work and through other kinds of mechanisms that we that there is ultimately a better way, right? And you are giving people the better way.
Yes.
That's so powerful, sis. All right. So you talked about mindset already.
Yes.
And that's so critical. We've talked a lot about mindset already through our podcast. And minding our personal finances and minding our business finances are one and the same, right? Yes. So tell us more about that from your perspective.
So I think it's critical, like you were saying, with people who are in a traditional job or working in a corporate setting or working for someone else, it's critical, really, that you really begin to think about paying yourself or doing that you are a business. So if you owned a business, which most people aspire to at some point in time, own a business, you can't run a business haphazardly with your finances. Mm-hmm. You have to have those profit structures in place so that, like you said, you don't, when the money starts to come in, you're not spending it all out. And I think that's one thing that most entrepreneurs do, is that as the money comes in, it quickly goes out. They don't have those profit structures in place in order to carry them over the long haul.
Yeah.
So they can have some longevity, because as a business owner, there are things that you have to focus on. You have to focus on your marketing and advertising. You know, you have to focus on the growth of your business. And when you don't have those profit structures in place, you are just pulling whatever resources are left at the end in order to take care of some of the critical pieces of your business.
Yeah. You know, I recently said that I would much rather be broke than be cheap, right? Or much rather be cheap than be broke.
Okay.
And I think that that's really important, because oftentimes in business, we don't know as entrepreneurs when that next check is going to come. So living well below our means is one of the ways that we can have the freedom, right, to flex a little bit.
Right. Okay.
And so putting that 10% away, as you talked about, and other kinds of strategies, which we're not going to give it all the
right,
way today.
Right.
We're not giving it all the way. But we want to give people enough to be able to execute and make changes where changes do, right?
Exactly.
So that's awesome. Thank you, LaKeisha.
You're welcome.
So the Black woman and money go together like Fill in the blank.
Chips and salsa.
Now you got me wanting a margarita, girl. So say more about that.
So I think the Black woman, we have a responsibility to really understand our financial state of being. I think we do because we are most times we're the head of household. Sometimes we're the major breadwinner in a household. We have children or children that look up to us, even if they're not our own, that are looking up to us for advice and guidance. And I really think that we are the pillar. And if the pillar is able to get a good handle around their money, get a handle around how to build wealth, how to build generational wealth, then you can pass that down to your children and they can take your legacy and run with it. And right now, what happens is in most communities is that we start on the first floor. Our children start on the first floor. And in other cultures, their children don't have to start on ground one. They start on level four, you know. So I think as African-American women, as the Black woman, I think it's our responsibility to really get a control over our finances so we can begin to pass down some wisdom for the next generation.
I love that, right? Because each generation should be better than the last.
Yep.
Which means that we've got to be intentional about carving away. And I love that word that you use, legacy, right? Yes. So let's create a legacy together because we can. There's no reason why we can't leave something better for the next generation and so on and so forth.
Exactly, yes.
That's powerful, sis. What one piece of inspiration do you have for Black women in business?
Oh, for Black women in business, I think my one piece of inspiration is to take time for you. I think we get so busy in the hustle and bustle and the go and the flow and, you know, we're out here grinding that we don't take time for ourselves. So my one piece of information or inspiration would be to get a team, get a network of people around you who can help hold you up and who can help hold you accountable and help you see the vision through to the end.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I find that with leaders, particularly for the higher up that you are or if you work for yourself, that having people around you to give you honest feedback is really challenging.
Yes.
And so when you have that in your network where people love you enough to tell you the things that nobody else will tell you, that in itself is priceless.
Yes.
And that's really the only way that we can grow because particularly as folks like us who are more solopreneurs, who can we be accountable to?
Right?
So we have to create our own accountability structures based on the people that we care about the most and who care about us the most so that we can continue to grow on this journey of entrepreneurship.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't let you leave yet without knowing a little bit more about your own wellness practice. So what does the intersection of business and wellness mean to you?
Oh, that's a good question. So one of the things that I like to do is I like to divide my day. So we know we want to get 8 hours of sleep, right? We want to dedicate 8 hours to really getting the proper amount of rest that we need. We need to devote 8 hours to relaxation, recreation, exercise, and then we need to devote 8 hours to working. Typically, we do. So I like to take the 8 hours of recreation, exercise, and I like to break that down. I like to take a time, an hour for myself, whether it's to take a bubble bath and relax, if it's to go to a local coffee shop and sit and read a book, it's to take 1 hour just for me.
That's the finance person in you, right? You broke down the day. We got 8 hours for this and this and this. And I love that. And your spin on wellness is a little bit different from some of the other women that we have interviewed on the podcast.
Okay.
You know, I like the simplicity in what you talked about, right? Okay. Drawing a warm bath, going to a coffee shop.
Because
we know that creative juices can begin to flow.
Yes.
Or maybe we're jamming out to our music or sipping on that tea. Or, you know, it's not these grandiose things that we do, which... You know, I like grandiosity.
Right.
I want to be on the island, the beach, in New Zealand somewhere, right? And the reality is that we can carve it out every single day.
Yes, we can.
So that we are always filling our cup.
Yes.
We are always filling our cup. So that was awesome. So we have come to the end of our interview, sis.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that our listeners can continue to stay in touch with you because I know I'm going to stay in touch with you.
Thank you.
So tell them how they can do that.
So I am on all your favorite social media outlets, Lakeisha Mallett at Mallett Coaching. I am at www.mallettcoaching.com. And for the professional and career and the entrepreneurial women, I have a Facebook group, Smart Women Profit First. It is a closed group where we share strategies on living a more purposeful and profitable life. So you can find me there as well.
Sis, you know I'm going to be there, right?
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I cannot wait. Yes. So listeners, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm sure that you learned a great deal from Lakeisha. I know that I did. Stay tuned for more of her because I know that we're going to have an opportunity to feature her at our Michigan Business and Wellness Tour. Once again, we're going to be in Kalamazoo Battle Creek at the end of March 2019. We'll be in Detroit, this great city that we call Detroit, at the end of May. And then we'll be in Grand Rapids the first week in June. And then please mark your calendars, August 8th through the 11th, Grand Traverse Resort and Spa. 4-day retreat, all-inclusive pricing right now. Make sure you check us out on Eventbrite. And please follow us on social media as well. And make sure that you sign up for our newsletter. Thank you for being with us today. We have more fabulous Black women doing their thing in business and wellness. So make sure that you stay tuned. Thank you again for being with us. Ashe.
Thank you.
Thank you, sis.